Psalm 49. It's the last of these summer psalms that we've been looking at. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With a harp, I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay. But all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they have named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and peoples praise you when you prosper. They will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish.
Good morning. It's good to see you. And it's good to have you with us if you are watching the live stream. Before I preach, let's pray together. Lord, we come to you in humility, knowing how great and wonderful you are. And we pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. On 9th of April, Emily Maitlis, a BBC News broadcaster, was applauded for her 52nd commentary on COVID-19 and its effects. And this is what she said. The language around COVID-19 has sometimes felt trite and misleading. You do not survive the illness through fortitude and strength of character, whatever the Prime Minister's colleagues may tell us. And the disease is not a great leveller, the consequences of which everyone, rich or poor, suffers the same. This is a myth which needs debunking. Those serving on the front line right now, bus drivers and shelf stackers, nurses, care home workers, hospital staff and shopkeepers, are disproportionately the lower paid members of our workforce. They are more likely to catch the disease because they are more exposed. Those who live in tower blocks and small flats will find the lockdown tougher. Those in manual jobs will be unable to work from home. This is a health issue with huge ramifications for social welfare. And it's a welfare issue with huge ramifications for public health. At times of change and uncertainty, there is a need for a voice that will cut through the dross, that speaks above the noise and proclaims the reality of what is happening without fear or favor. And this voice can be described the voice of discernment. And this psalm is very much a call to those of faith to exercise a spiritual discernment that cuts through the trite and misleading, to have a discerning eye in a time when the rich both rely on and abuse the power that comes from that wealth. And the central message of this psalm is that wealth and status have no currency in heaven. And this psalm has power not just because of what it says, but also because of where it will be sung and to whom. This psalm is part of temple worship. And I want you to imagine that you're in one of the big cathedrals of today, Westminster Abbey, Canterbury, Liverpool. Not only places of worship, but themselves symbols of wealth and power, built to the glory of God, but as a result of the power and the wealth of those who commissioned them. The same was true of the temple, built to the glory of God, symbolizing the presence of God in the midst of the Israelites. In Solomon's temple, the first that was built, had an international reputation for its beauty and its own glory. And yet these places, Westminster Abbey, Canterbury, Liverpool, as well as the temple, have been known as places where the weak and the poor belong, alongside the healthy and the rich. Together they worship the living Lord. And of course, there's everyone in between too. For the cynic, this psalm could be a psalm about keeping the poor in their place. Don't reach for something that you're not quite deserving of. But don't worry, there is more to life than wealth and status. Just stay where you are. However, it's actually much more clever than that, because the psalm manages to admonish the wealthy and the powerful without doing it directly or overtly. So whilst it serves as a reminder to those who are at the bottom of the pile, there is also the challenge to the wealthy of where is your security? And that reminds us of Emily Maitlis once more. Whilst having little personal wealth or status, she spoke from a position of great wealth and power that comes from working for the BBC. What perhaps is challenging is that she actually chose to use that position. So as we come to this psalm, and as we come to the last psalm in this series, what is God saying to us? Where do we fit into God's world? And where does God fit into our world? This series begins with Psalms 42, 43, and 44. Psalms of lament. Psalms that allow us to give voice to our grief of things that have been lost through COVID-19. Our anger, our frustrations, our fears, and the sense of losing ourselves. And we have learned that God is more than big enough to not only cope with all of those feelings, but that he positively invites us to share them with him. Psalms 45 to 48, as Andy has been reminding us, are psalms that tell us of how great God is, how great God has been and his actions in the world, and that there is a time when we will see him being great again. And that means that we can trust him in these uncertain and unkind times. And we had a foray into Psalm 51, a psalm of confession, reminding us that God loves a humble and contrite heart. This psalm is asking us to look at ourselves and where we place our trust, telling us for the first time or reminding us anew that wealth and status have no currency in heaven. So why do we, as Christians at St. Simon's, live as though they do? Perhaps you were expecting a sermon decrying the wealth of people like Mark Zuckerberg, founder and owner of Facebook, and Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, or maybe even of the owners of the large houses in Formby, and to say that we shouldn't focus on their wealth. After all, They will die anyway. And whilst that is true, we are being asked to exercise spiritual discernment, to cut through the dross, to speak above the noise, and to proclaim God's reality to our own lives, not of others. We probably don't consider ourselves to be wealthy, but as we come out of a full lockdown into the new normal, we are also seeing localized lockdowns. And as they appear on our TV screens, we see a map of poverty around Britain being displayed. Places where there is multi-generational housing, tower blocks with shared entrances with no one to clean them, shared bathrooms and kitchens, small flats, those with poor and insecure jobs with fewer opportunities and little choice, and racial inequalities that are not only about genetics. And this is what poverty means: not being able to heat your own home, to pay your rent, or buy the essentials for your children. It means waking up every day facing insecurity, uncertainty, and impossible decisions about money. It means facing marginalization and even discrimination because of your financial circumstances. We've just prayed for our church school, Bishop David Shepherd. It's a primary school for children who live in the local area. 50% of those children are on free school meals. And anyone who is involved would know and tell you that this is not some generous handout for those who are lazy and work shy. Furthermore, 20% of them had no access to educational resources during lockdown until the last week of term. For them, homeschooling was a luxury that they could not afford. I want you to imagine half of all the people that are your family and those that you consider to be your friends not having enough money to put one decent meal on the table every day. Or imagine that half the adult membership of St. Simon and St. Jude's are not able to pay their rent. Actually, we are so wealthy, we can't even imagine half of our members not owning their own houses, never being able to save for a deposit. And we probably don't think that we have status or power, but we do. Status is not exactly the same as wealth, where we can look at the bank balance and see how much money is in there, or check the value of our assets. A trivial but I hope useful analogy is this, and at this point I'm assuming that the majority of us know who Josh Ashcroft is, but even if you don't, I think you'll get the drift. I want you to have a flight of imagination, to go back to the time before COVID, and imagine that Josh and I went into the pub together, and I, feeling generous, said, "I earn more than you, I'll go and get the drinks." The bar is crowded, of course. I will have gone to the bar and I will have been stood there waiting really quite a long time. And it would have been far more sensible, if we were both thirsty, for Josh to go to the bar, because he has bar presence. And quite frankly, I have about none. And that is what status is. It's the same principle as having that presence. It tells you how status works. It means that you don't have to struggle to be seen or heard. And some of us here know what it means to struggle to be seen or heard. It also means that if you are seen, that you won't be actively ignored, devalued, denigrated, or marginalized. We will have all seen the news stories of drivers stopped by white policemen, or white police women, because the driver is black. We may have seen the story of the British Vogue editor being refused entry to his own building because of his colour. Because we are wealthy, because we have status, we quite rightly consider ourselves blessed. We are grateful for the life he has given us. But we also know that we are praised as we prosper, just like those people in verses 16 and 17 in the psalm. And after all, there is nothing wrong with having wealth or status in itself. But we are being asked to exercise spiritual discernment, to cut through the dross, to speak above the noise, to proclaim God's reality to our own lives. And that reality is that our wealth and our status have no currency in heaven. COVID-19 has raised the reality and inevitability of death for all in a way that nothing else has done in the past. It has always been known that death is inevitable, just as it says in verse 10, that it cannot be cheated, we too will be buried, entombed, or in today's terms, cremated, as in verse 11, and that in these very simple terms that we are no different to the animals of the field, as in verse 12. It doesn't matter who follows you or who you follow, we will all die. Even if you love someone as much as a brother and throw all your resources at trying to save them, in the end it will not be enough to save them from death, as is so clear in verses 7 to 9. But from these same verses, more than the reality and inevitability of death, is the reality of a meaningful life after death. For the many people who have a general feeling that there is life after death, and for those who don't believe in life after death at all, then the nature of that life after death that is alluded to here is a radical idea. For what is written about here goes further than the traditional Israelite and Jewish idea of Sheol, a place of gloom and darkness that exists for all when they die, and exists for both the bad and the good alike. Here, in verses 14 and 15, we have a place that we can only enter through God himself, by the power of God, and it is a place for the upright in heart. So as we exercise spiritual discernment and cut through the dross, speak above the noise, and proclaim God's reality, we see that our future is in the hands of God alone. It is he alone that can rescue us from death. It is he alone that can lead us to a life with him that is beyond the grave. And I'm going to hand over to the music group to sing those exact words. He alone that can rescue us from death.
Shame was deep.
As we cut through the dross, speak above the noise and proclaim God's reality. As I said, we are expected to live in the light of that spiritual discernment. As we see that our wealth and status will not prevent our death, nor lead us to life after death, what is left for us? The analogy of the psalmist in verse 7, that we cannot even ransom our own brother, points us to what God has done for us in Jesus. The psalm speaks of being unable to alter the position of someone that we love so dearly, that no expense or effort would be spared in order to save their life. And sad to say, it seems to be that it is only when we face the possibility of losing someone we love, or actually lose someone dear to us, that we really begin to have a deep sense of the value of a human life, to know how much they are worth. And as a nation in COVID-19, we grieve together with so many who have suffered such untimely and unfair losses. But the value of the human life has been something that God has always known. And his love for each person is deeper than we have, even for our nearest and dearest. And because of his love and his understanding, he was prepared to give up that which was most dear and most precious to him in order to ransom each one of us, in order to bring us into his world. A number of years ago, the Christian singer and songwriter Graham Kendrick wrote a song on which the question is asked, or in which the question is asked, how much do you think you are worth? Is a rich man worth more than a poor one? And it goes on to say, if you heard that your life had been valued, that a price had been paid on the nail, would you ask what was traded, how much and who paid it? Who was he and what was his name? If you heard that his name is called Jesus, would you say that the price was too dear? Held to the cross not by nails but by love. It was you who broke his heart, not the spear. Would you say you are worth what it cost him? You say no. But the price stays the same. If it don't make you cry, laugh it off, passing by. But just remember the day when you throw it away that he paid what he thought you were worth. How much do you think he is worth, boy? Will anyone stand up and say, tell me, what are you willing to give him in return for the price that was paid? As we have gone through the lockdown and live through the new normal, we need to be able to see what God is asking us to leave behind and its relative worthlessness. That our wealth and the ways in which we try to shore up our wealth and our choice of lifestyle, including the ways that we have done church, has not brought us security and cannot and never could. Our journey through the Psalms has taken us from grief and lament and anger to the glory of God and his faithfulness, and now to address the reality of who we are, ultimately powerless over our own destiny, but in the hands of God. Our journey with COVID-19 means that we cannot look back to the security that our relative wealth gave us, dependent upon our own resources and our own privately beneficial life choices. God will not ask us to go backwards, only forwards. And we are foolish to hope for a return to the pre-COVID life. God wants so much more for us, and he wants so much more of us. Perhaps now is actually the time that we should be turning to Psalm 51. That psalm of repentance and contrition, to to repent of our dependence upon our wealth and our status, however unconscious, and to seek to live a new life, fully dependent upon him. The psalm finishes at verse 20. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. For those who do not know God and what Christ has done for them, that Christ has done for all of us, now is the time to find out. But for those of us who are Christians, it is time to exercise spiritual discernment, to cut through the dross, to speak above the noise, and to proclaim the reality of a life lived for Christ. Amen.
Verse 15 of Psalm 49 again. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Great news this morning is that there is a Redeemer. His name is Jesus, the name by which we can be saved. We're going to sit and we're going to reflect now on Psalm 49 that Helen has preached for us as we listen to this song. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
There is a redeemer.
as we go out this week, trusting in our Redeemer Jesus, as we seek to live and rely on him, not our wealth, let's say this prayer together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.